Hey everyone, just a quick note before we get started with today's episode. You'll notice that there are more ads than I normally have in this one, but that's only because I'm playing catch up with my advertisers since extending my maternity leave. I know it may seem like a lot, but they're all really great sponsors that I would love for you to check out. Thank you in advance for your understanding. It was 3:20 p.m. on July 10th, 1998, and helicopters were circling overhead above the University Medical Center in Jacksonville, Florida. Police officers were on the ground, stopping and searching every vehicle that approached every exit of the hospital. Inside, officers were going room to room, scrutinizing every inch of every room. Nearby, airports, bus terminals, and taxi companies were on high alert, and the FBI was aiding in the search. Meanwhile, detectives were inside the University Medical Center at a labor and delivery room near the end of the hall. Inside, a frantic teenager who had just become a new mom for the very first time just hours ago at 6:55 a.m. was recounting what had led up to the massive search. 16-year-old Shannara Mobley told the detectives that a woman dressed in a typical nurse's uniform, a blue floral smock and green scrub pants, had come into her room about 5 hours prior and told her that she was her assigned nurse for the day. The woman spent the next few hours in the room with Shannara and her newborn baby, whom she had named Kamaya. They sat and talked, and the nurse helped Shannara care for herself and for her new infant. Shannara thought the nurse was nice and seemed to know a lot about what was going on. She was about 30 to 35 years old, with dark brown shoulder-length hair that was curled under at the bottom, and she wore reading glasses. At about 3 p.m., Shannara's boyfriend's mom, Delma Aiken, came into the room to visit with Shannara and to meet her granddaughter for the first time. When she walked in, the woman in the nursing uniform picked up the baby and announced that she needed to take Kamaya to the nursery to do a routine temperature check. It was something they did for all the newborns, she said. Delma asked if she could at least see Kamaya before she took her, and the nurse leaned over to show the baby to the excited grandmother. She then said that she would be right back, and then walked out of the room, with Kamaya in her arms and a black bag hanging off her shoulder. Shannara didn't think anything of it, until the minutes ticked by, and neither the woman nor her baby were returned to the room. Shannara picked up the room phone and dialed out to the nursery, just to make sure that the nurse was still there with Kamaya. But what the nurses in the nursery told her shocked her to her core. No one had brought her baby to the nursery. And not only that, but the routine temperature checks the woman had told her that were standard at the hospital weren't even a thing. The reality of what had just happened hit Shannara like a ton of bricks. Her baby had just been kidnapped. This is Jillian, and you are listening to Court Junkie, episode 57. While Shannara was speaking with detectives, her boyfriend and father of her child, 22-year-old Craig Aiken, was sitting in a jail cell, having recently been sentenced to 6 months in prison for possession of marijuana. As he would later recall it, about 10 police officers came by and opened his cell door. They told him to follow them, and they led him across the jail to a small room where they shut the door behind them. They told him that they had good news and bad news. The good news, they said, was that his daughter Kamaya had been born. The bad news was that she had been kidnapped. Craig would later say that he was in shock, that it wasn't something that sounded believable. It sounded like something that happened to people on TV, not to people like him. Shannara had been just 15 years old when they found out that she was pregnant in October of 1997. She had been a bit rebellious, too, as a teenager, but she would later say that she took this pregnancy as an opportunity to get her life in order, that she was excited and happy. In the days, weeks, and months following the kidnapping, police appealed to the public for any information about the kidnapper. They said that she could be someone who just lost her own child, or someone who had perhaps been faking a pregnancy. They asked people to be on the lookout for a woman who suddenly turned up with a baby. Detectives said they were following several leads and believed the woman may still be in Jacksonville. The lead investigator told reporters that there's a high percentage in getting these babies back in these types of cases. But even with that optimism hanging in the air, their leads seemed to go nowhere. Missing infant posters were hung up all around Jacksonville and placed on buses with sketches of what the kidnapper looked like when she took Kamaya and what she could possibly look like current day, with the ominous text, "Kamaya Mobley, taken from the University Medical Center on 7/10/98. She's in immediate need of medical attention." Also listed on the posters was a $250,000 reward. While the investigation was ongoing, Craig was arrested again, this time for having gotten Shannara pregnant, who had been underage at the time. Meanwhile, Shannara spoke with numerous reporters, sobbing while pleading on air for the return of her baby.
"Please, please bring my baby. I know you, if you don't have no kids, if you was faking a pregnancy or, I mean, you just can't have no kids. I mean, how you think I feel? I'm old, true enough, I'm only 16 years old, but I have fantasy. That's my first child."
With no viable suspects, everyone was treated as a suspect, Shannara and Craig included. At one point, detectives working the case were suspicious of Shannara and Craig, thinking that they had staged the kidnapping for money. A few years after Kamaya's disappearance, the hospital settled a civil suit with Shannara and awarded her $1.2 million while agreeing to pay her $3,000 a month for the rest of her life. Craig had reportedly filed a suit as well, but it was thrown out of court. The years went by, 5 years, then 10, then 15 years. The case had garnered more than 3,000 leads, all of which had led investigators nowhere near closer to finding Kamaya or the mysterious woman who had kidnapped her. But they knew that the longer Kamaya went without being found, the more likely it was that she was no longer alive. Until 16 years after the kidnapping, when a 16-year-old girl in Walterboro, South Carolina, made a shocking discovery. It was 2014, and 16-year-old Alexis Manigo was outside on the porch of the home she shared with her mother, 51-year-old Gloria Bolden Williams. Alexis had just returned from a local restaurant where she had been attempting to get a job, but she learned that she needed her birth certificate and Social Security card, documents required for her impending employment. She had come home and had asked her mom where her documents were, but her mother's reaction wasn't what she expected. Gloria told her daughter to sit down, that she needed to tell her something. Alexis obliged. "You're not my daughter," Gloria finally said. "I took you a long time ago." "What are you talking about?" Alexis asked her. Gloria started crying while she pulled out her phone. She pulled up a website, one that listed missing children, and showed Alexis a missing persons flyer, one with the photo of Kamaya Mobley, the baby who had been kidnapped from the University Medical Center all those years ago. "That doesn't look like me," Alexis said, studying the baby pictured on the flyer. "Yeah, that's you," Gloria replied. Gloria's confession meant that Alexis wasn't really who she thought she was, that for 16 years her mother had lied to her, that she had biological parents out there somewhere who had been searching for her and who had perhaps even thought that she was dead. But Alexis loved Gloria and knew her as her mother. Gloria suggested going to the authorities and turning herself in, but Alexis told her not to. She didn't want Gloria to get into trouble. And so they both decided to live with their dark secret. More on what happened next, right after this quick break from my sponsor. Handy is the easy and convenient way to book home cleanings. So as you all know, I just had a baby a little over a month ago, and with a brand new baby comes lots of visitors, family, friends, and even acquaintances who all want to stop by and see our new little bundle of joy. I didn't really have the time to make sure that our home was clean the way I like it, so when I got the offer to try Handy, I was pumped. Using Handy is easy. You can compare profiles and read real customer reviews. then book on your schedule right from the app or website. All of Handy's services are backed by the Handy Happiness Guarantee, and all pros on Handy are background checked, which you can learn more about at handy.com. Plus, with Handy's clear upfront pricing, what you see is what you pay. And you can pay securely on the app, so there's no need to worry about having to go get your cash or checks ready to go. The cleaner that I booked did a great job. She cleaned our living room, dining room, kitchen, and bathrooms, leaving me to tend to our visitors and cuddle with my baby. To get your first 3-hour cleaning for just $39 when you sign up for our plan, visit handy.com/junkie and use promo code junkie during checkout. That's handy.com/junkie and use promo code junkie during checkout to get your first 3-hour cleaning for $39 once you sign up for a plan. Recurring charge terms and conditions apply. Visit handy.com to learn more. Most skincare products on the shelf involve some sort of trade-off. Either they're loaded with harmful chemicals but work well, or they manage to have clean ingredients but do absolutely nothing for your skin. True Botanicals believes that you shouldn't have to choose between skincare that's safe and skincare that's effective. You deserve both. With the help of leading researchers from top universities, True Botanicals bottles the highest quality natural ingredients, creating luxurious formulas that are as potent as they are pure. Third-party clinical trials verify their product's efficacy. Their Renew collection for aging skin outperformed Creme de la Mer, and their Clear collection for acne outperformed Proactive Plus. That's proof that non-toxic skincare can not only be as effective as conventional skincare, but it can be better. And True Botanicals is the first skincare company to have its entire line certified safe for people and the planet by the nonprofit Made Safe, America's first non-toxic seal. Go to truebotanicals.com now to get free samples and receive $20 off orders of $40 or more with the code JUNKIE. That's truebotanicals.com. Use code JUNKIE. Offer restricted to first purchase only. Although Gloria and Alexis decided to keep their secret to themselves, both of them ended up confiding in others. And as a result, this case took a turn in 2016. On August 8, 2016, an anonymous tip was made to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. The tip said that Kamaya Mobley was alive and was currently residing in Walterboro, South Carolina. The tip said that Kamaya had confided to a friend that she had been kidnapped when she was a baby and was listed as a missing person. The tipster said that Kamaya had been living under the name of Alexis Manigo. 3 months later, another tip came into the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. This tip said that Gloria Bolden Williams had admitted to kidnapping Kamaya Mobley from a hospital in Jacksonville. The tipster claimed that Gloria had said that she had renamed Kamaya Alexis Manigo and was pretending that she was Gloria's daughter. The tipster reiterated that they were living in Walterboro, South Carolina. So finally, on January 10, 2017, two detectives decided to follow up on the tips. They went to the Colleton County High School in Walterboro and obtained the birth certificate and social security card that the school had on file for Alexis Manigo. When they tested the authenticity of the documents, they determined that they were, in fact, fraudulent. The social security number listed on Alexis's card had actually belonged to a man in Virginia who had died in 1983. They performed a search of Gloria's home and obtained oral swabs from Alexis. And they interviewed Gloria numerous times. During the first two interviews, Gloria asked investigators if they had a warrant for her arrest. When they told her no, she said that she wouldn't speak to them without an attorney present. But 3 days after her initial interview, they did have a warrant for her arrest. The DNA on the oral swabs from Alexis was a match for Kamaya Mobley.
JSO investigators obtained a DNA sample from her earlier this week. That sample was submitted to the FDLE crime lab for testing. And last night, we received confirmation that the young woman that we contacted in South Carolina is in fact Kamaya Mobley. Early this morning in Walterboro, again, South Carolina, we and local authorities served a search warrant and an arrest warrant at the residence where she has lived. And charged with kidnapping and interference with custody is 51-year-old Gloria Williams.
Gloria was taken into custody on January 12, 2017. Shortly after her arrest, investigators allowed Alexis to come into the interview room and speak with her. She came in sobbing, and Alexis and Gloria embraced.
Help. It's okay. It's okay. You know I love you so much. It's okay.
Gloria tells the crying Alexis, "It's okay. It's okay. You know I love you so much." They spend about an hour together, and then Alexis leaves while Gloria remains under arrest. As they continued with their investigation, investigators interviewed people close to Gloria and Alexis, including Gloria's parents, who told them something that was of great interest to detectives. They said that Gloria had been pregnant around the time of the kidnapping, but that they had been surprised when she showed up with a baby sooner than they expected.
And she came home with the baby. I said, "But how did you come home? Nobody didn't drive you home." So she said she told me she got someone to bring. They said that they came to pick her up, and that's how she came home.
Gloria's mom said that the day prior she hadn't heard from Gloria, and then the next day she showed up with the baby. Investigators asked if Gloria had gone to all of her prenatal appointments, and Gloria's mom said yes. They then asked if she knew about her having had a miscarriage, and her mom replied, "All I know is she came home, she had a baby." But she said she was surprised when Gloria went back to work so soon after supposedly having just given birth. The 18-year search for baby Kamaya was finally over. But was a happy ending even possible in this kind of case? Just days after Gloria's arrest, Alexis reunited with her birth parents.
And tonight, Kamaya Mobley was reunited with her biological parents 18 years after she was taken from them. Here's her baby photo. You may remember
Alexis's biological father, Craig Aiken, told reporters that the meeting went well, but that it was going to take some time.
First meeting was beautiful. It was wonderful. It couldn't have went no better.
I can't explain this. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to put it in words right now. It's hard to deal with this here right now. You know what I'm saying? We just, like I said, we're trying to process. It's been 18 years. You know, it's going to be hard to make that up.
But although Alexis had reunited with her birth parents, she still spoke with Gloria every day and even visited her in jail. She openly told reporters that she didn't want Gloria to be punished too harshly, that she still loved her and still considered her her mother. And she posted on Facebook that Gloria, quote, "raised me with everything I needed and most of all, everything I wanted. My mother is no felon. The ignorant ones won't understand that." But even with Alexis's support, Gloria decided not to fight the charges. She pleaded guilty to kidnapping and interference with child custody, and so she was facing a sentence of 22 years in prison. At her sentencing hearing in May 2018, the state called several witnesses to the stand, witnesses who had been directly affected by the kidnapping. Starting with a man named Charles Manigo, who had been in a relationship with Gloria back in 1997 and 1998. Charles started out by telling the court that for the last 18 years, Gloria had made him believe that he had a child with her. He said he helped raise Alexis and that he was the one who named her Alexis Kelly Manigo. He said that he learned the truth, that he was not the father, on January 12, 2017, when he got a call from a detective in Jacksonville. Charles told the prosecutor that he had paid child support over the last 18 years and that he had even gotten into trouble when he couldn't pay it. He said his wages were garnished a couple times, and that he was incarcerated for a week after falling behind on payments. Charles called the last year a, quote, "nightmare that took him by storm." He said that in his heart, Alexis is still his child and that he loves her to death. He noted that as a father, you plan weddings and you get to be a grandfather, but that has all been taken away from him. He said he lost a child and he can never get that back. When Gloria's attorney questioned him, She pointed out that although he had lost a daughter, that no one was stopping him from having a relationship with Alexis now, and that no one can take his memories away. Alexis's birth parents, Shannara Mobley and Craig Aiken, along with other family members, then took the stand, and they testified about how the kidnapping had affected their lives. Shannara Mobley recounted the moment that she first gave birth to Kamaya, saying that she remembered when the doctors first handed Kamaya to her. "She was so beautiful," she said, as she openly sobbed on the stand. She recalled meeting Gloria, who she said came into her room and told her that she was a nurse. She said Gloria was really nice, older, and seemed like she knew what was going on. She said she trusted her. After Craig's mom, Kamaya's grandmother, came into the room, Gloria picked up the baby and said that she was going to take her to the nursery to take her temperature. She said she would be right back. After a while, Craig's mom joked that the nurse wasn't going to come back, and so Shannara called the nursery. She said she was still weak from having given birth, and when the nurses on the other end of the line told her that no one had brought her baby to the nursery, she said she threw herself on the floor and started screaming and cussing about where her baby was. After the kidnapping, she said she felt like she was a suspect and that people kept implying that she had staged it for money. She had nightmares, was self-medicating, and was thinking about suicide. She said that every year on Kamaya's birthday, they would have a little party, and they always got a cake and balloons. She would put the birthday cake in the freezer for a while, in case Kamaya was ever found, but then she would always have to throw it away. She told the court that things haven't gotten better, and said that Gloria still contacts Kamaya.
Over the next several months and years, did time heal these wounds? Did you feel better?
It doesn't heal now. It's still hurting. When you did it, you reached out to my child. That is my child. I am your mother, Kamaya. I am your mother.
So you're saying that, like, as you sit here today, you feel like the defendant, Ms. Williams, still has a hold?
Yes.
And because of the 18 years, she's still raising her?
Yes.
She said Kamaya has Gloria listed in her phone as Mommy, which is hurtful to her. She said Gloria's family still calls Kamaya too, and that they don't care.
Is that hurtful to you?
Yes. Her family reaches out to my baby, I've heard my baby on the phone, and telling them up to my mom and pop, and they will still continue a conversation with my baby. Her and my family, they will feel no type of nothing.
Shannara told the court that she can't have a decent relationship because she takes her anger out on other people. When asked how often she thought about Kamaya, she said every day. Shannara went on to have other children and would tell them that they had an older sister named Kamaya and that someone stole her. She said she's overly protective of her other kids now and barely lets them go outside. She always believed that Kamaya was still alive. She said a mother can always feel when something is wrong with her child, and she never got that feeling. She called the first time she saw Kamaya again the happiest day of her life. She said she saw herself in her. "Everything about her is me," she said. "Everything." When asked what sentence the judge should give Gloria for taking her baby, Shannara didn't hesitate, and the spectators in the courtroom audibly gasped at her response.
Let me ask you this. Can any sentence that the judge gives Ms. Williams change the 18 years and still go on that year to that 18 years?
It's only one sentence, and I don't think she's looking up for that. I would say death.
But obviously, that's not appropriate for this case. So you recommend a maximum sentence in the court?
Because I need her away from my child. I want you to do a no contact form, too. Because if me and my child, they should be going, I need her away, or far away where she cannot contact my baby. Well, my baby can't even get to her.
Shannara said that Gloria is making the situation all about her. It's not about her, she said, and she's not sorry. Shannara said that Gloria still has a relationship with Kamaya, and that she just wants her to leave Kamaya alone. Craig's mom, Delma Aiken, testified next. She also recounted the day of the kidnapping for the judge. She said she got to the hospital around 3 p.m. that day, and when she got to Shannara's room, she said there was a woman dressed as a nurse inside with Shannara. The woman picked up Kamaya and was getting ready to leave with her. She leaned over and showed Delma the baby and then said that she would be back in 15 minutes. Delma said she remarked to Shannara that it was odd for a nurse to be carrying a bag around with her because usually hospitals are strict about that kind of thing. That's when Shannara called the nursery and found out that her baby had never been taken there. Delma said when they spoke with Shannara's real nurse on duty, they asked about the nurse who took the baby, and the nurse on duty said, "Nurse, I thought that lady was a relative of yours." Delma said that she herself was a suspect to many people over the next 18 years. She said she was interrogated and harassed by people who thought that she had the baby. At times, she said she felt like the police weren't really looking for Kamaya because they thought that she had her. She told the prosecutor that the not knowing what happened to her affected her really badly, and that she was so nervous and scared that Kamaya was dead. When she first saw Kamaya again, she recalled that it was on Friday the 13th, but said that it was such a good day. That night before, detectives had come to her door and said that they had a new lead in the case, and they asked her to come downtown the next day. She said she couldn't sleep that night because she didn't know what was going on, and she prayed that Kamaya was still alive. "God answered my prayers," she said. Shannara's boyfriend at the time and Kamaya's father, Craig Aiken, testified next. Craig said that he remembers what happened like it was yesterday. He remarked that he often wondered what Gloria was thinking and what she was feeling that day when she told Shannara that she was taking Kamaya to get her temperature checked, when she manipulated a 16-year-old child and took Kamaya, he said, and destroyed his and Shannara's lives in the process. Craig told the court that it was hard to be a victim and a suspect at the same time. "Do you know what it feels like to have the whole world turn their back on you for a crime that someone else committed?" he asked. He said he was a suspect up until the day they found Kamaya, and that no one has ever apologized for that. Every year on Kamaya's birthday, he said that he and Shannara would try to call or see each other, and they would talk about Kamaya, like what she would look like, and that they never gave up hope. Craig also spoke about Gloria. He said, quote, "She's not capable of having feelings for other people." He said Gloria still doesn't understand that she's not Kamaya's mother. He watched her court appearances and said that he has seen her smiling and laughing in the courtroom. He said her crimes are serious and that they're still doing damage to Kamaya. Craig told the judge that he hopes they make an example out of Gloria, that you can't just take people's kids and there will be no consequences. He said after he found out what happened while he was in jail, the officers there let him talk to Shannara on the phone. She was crying and saying that he should have been there. She blamed him, and he said that he's still mad about it to this day, mad that he wasn't there for her. He said he now has 8 kids and 2 grandbabies, but said he thought about Kamaya and what happened to her every day. You'll hear from more witnesses, this time from Gloria's side, right after this quick break from our sponsor. Support for today's show comes from Care of. Care of is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamin supplement packs right to your door. Just take Care of's fun online quiz, which asks you about your diet, health goals, and lifestyle choices, and find out in 5 minutes what vitamins and supplements you specifically need. Then, your vitamins will get delivered right to your door in personalized, easy-to-remember daily packs, perfect for a busy, on-the-go lifestyle. Vegan and vegetarian supplement options are available to match your dietary needs, and your monthly subscription box can be easily modified at any time. Ever since having my baby, I've been lacking sleep and energy, so this really couldn't have come at a more perfect time. I went on Care of's website and took their quiz, which was actually kind of fun and took less than 5 minutes. They then, based on my responses, recommended what vitamins I should take, gave me more information on each one, and then I checked out. A few days later, I got my very own Made for Jillian Care of box with the vitamins packaged in small individual daily packets with my name on them, making it super easy and convenient to take every day. And now Care of has a deal just for you Court Junkie listeners. For 25% off your first month of personalized Care of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter Junkie. That's takecareof.com and enter Junkie for 25% off your first month of personalized Care of vitamins. Do you ever feel stressed or anxious or have trouble sleeping? I know I do. Typically, I just try to lay down and watch one of my guilty pleasures on Bravo, like The Real Housewives or Southern Charm, hoping that the cheesy yet entertaining storylines will just put me to sleep. But that doesn't really work too well. And before I know it, it's 3 in the morning and I'm still wide awake, surrounded by my thoughts. And that's why I'm excited to partner with Calm, the number one app for sleep, meditation, and relaxation. Calm gives you the tools you need to live a happier, healthier, and more mindful life. Just 5 minutes of Calm can change your entire day. No wonder it was named Apple's 2017 App of the Year. Interested in trying? Go to calm.com/junkie and get 25% off a Calm premium subscription, which includes hundreds of hours of premium programs, like guided meditations on anxiety, stress, focus, and relationships, with a brand new meditation each day called the Daily Calm, sleep stories, which are like bedtime stories for grownups, and so much more. For a limited time, Court Junkie listeners can get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/junkie. It includes unlimited access to all of Calm's amazing content. Get started today at calm.com/junkie. That's calm.com/junkie. After a brief break, it was Gloria's turn. Her attorneys called their own witnesses to the stand, who testified about Gloria's character and about Alexis's childhood with her. Gloria's mom, Gloria Brown, was the first to testify on behalf of her daughter. She told the court that Gloria had a good childhood and that she never had any problems with her. She said she and Gloria were still very close and that they saw each other 2 to 3 times a week before her incarceration. She said that Gloria first married a man named William Bolden and that they had 2 sons together, but they eventually got a divorce, and afterwards, Gloria started dating Charles Manigo, who Gloria Brown said was physically abusive to her daughter. She said that Gloria would have blue marks on her arms, and that one time he pulled her arm out of her socket. In 1998, Gloria became pregnant with Charles's baby. She said she helped her paint the nursery, bought a crib for the baby, and threw her daughter a baby shower. She said she remembers Gloria first coming home with the baby. She said Gloria pulled up in her yard and she said, "What is this?" And Gloria responded, "That's my baby." She brought the baby in and put her in her lap. She said, "Alexis was beautiful and Gloria seemed so happy." Gloria told her that they had named her Alexis Kelly Manigo, but they would call her Lexi. When asked to describe Alexis's childhood, Gloria Brown said that she was raised beautifully and was well cared for. She never went hungry, always had a clean diaper, there were no signs of abuse, and no odd punishments. Alexis was always enrolled in school, graduated high school, and was involved in her church. She called Alexis a happy person and said that she has a good personality. And Alexis and Gloria had a good mother-daughter relationship, too. Alexis was respectful to Gloria and to her. They had no problems with Alexis growing up. Gloria Brown told the court that one day, Gloria and Alexis came over to her house, and Gloria said to her, "Mom, I want you to stop doing what you're doing. I've got something to tell you. I did something real bad. Alexis is not my child." She said they sat there for a minute and then left. She was shocked and said it was a nightmare or dream or something. The next day, her daughter was arrested. She said she couldn't believe it. While Gloria has been incarcerated for the last 16 months, Gloria Brown said that she's been sick a lot, even hospitalized 3 or 4 times. Typically, her daughter would have come to the hospital to do her hair, help bathe her, or talk to the doctors. She said she isn't mad at Gloria, that she loves her so much, and hopes the judge lets her come back home. She said she needs her, and that Gloria's father needs her too. She's a good person. She made a mistake. We love her. Alexis loves her. We want her to come home, she said. Gloria's father, Wilbert Brown, took the stand next. He said Gloria was a respectful, lovely child who never gave them any problems growing up. He said when Gloria told him that Alexis wasn't her child, he told her to try to get this all straightened out. He said it was very out of character for Gloria, and it's hard to understand why she did it. When asked what he wants the court to know, he said something rather surprising. He said, if you do the crime, you gotta do the time. He said he hopes that it's not as bad as it might be, but that whatever it is, Gloria has to accept it. Sherry White, the reverend at Gloria and Alexis's church, testified and said that Alexis was everyone's baby at the church. Alexis was also friends with her daughter, Armani. She said Armani spent the night at Gloria and Alexis's home all the time, and that she would still trust Gloria around her daughter. She called Gloria kind, loving, and said she had a warm heart when dealing with people. She first found out about what happened when her cousin called her and told her to turn on the TV, that Gloria had been arrested for kidnapping. Kidnapping who? She recalled asking her cousin. Alexis was the reply. At first, she didn't believe it and thought that it wasn't true. But now she believes that she didn't know Gloria during that time of her life, but that the person she knows now isn't that same person. The Gloria she knows now is a loving, caring, God-fearing person. She said she hopes that Gloria doesn't receive the maximum penalty so she can come back to their church and come back to spend time with her parents and to be a part of their community who really misses her. Under questioning by the prosecutor, Reverend White was pressed about the nice things she was saying about Gloria.
You stated that the person that you know now is not the person that is charged with kidnapping. Is that correct?
The person that I know now, the person that committed this crime, I did not know her then. She was not on my radar then. We weren't in contact then. So I can't speak to that individual. The individual that I can speak to is the individual that I met who introduced me to a wonderful young lady and let me know that that was her daughter. That's the person that I met.
And that's what I'm saying. So you know the person in 1998.
No.
But you know the person in 2014, right?
Correct.
And the person in 2014 was still daily perpetrating a fraud and kidnapping his family, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so the person that you knew was concealing that fact from you.
Correct.
Wernaski Williams took the stand next. When asked who he's married to, he responded, my wonderful wife, Gloria B. Williams. He said he and Gloria have been married for 6 years and that Alexis was about 8 or 9 years old when he came into their lives. He told the judge that he and Gloria have a great relationship. They go to church together, ride bikes together, shop together. He worked as a truck driver, and Gloria was an administrator at the Veteran Victory House, a nursing home, and also went to school at Limestone College. He said she wanted to do better in life and to help her family more. Gloria and Alexis had a great relationship, he told the court, and Alexis was well cared for. He said he wants his wife to come home, that she made a mistake. He recalled coming home from work one night, and Gloria and Alexis were on the porch. He said Gloria was crying. He got out of his car and asked what was going on. Gloria told him and said, babe, I made a mistake. Alexis told her that it was going to be okay, and so he then told her that it was going to be okay. He went inside the house and said that he was shocked, but that there was nothing else he could do except tell her that it was going to be okay. It was out of character for her. It hurt, but he had to be strong for her. When asked how his life has changed since Gloria has been incarcerated, he said it's been a roller coaster, but that life must go on. He visits Gloria every Saturday and keeps up with everything at home. He's not mad at her at all, and he forgives her. And if she's released, she still has a home to come home to, he said. He is still part of her support system. She's a good woman. She made a mistake. I feel like she deserves a second chance, he said. On cross-examination, Wernoski admitted that when Gloria told him what happened, it was 1 year and 3 months prior to her arrest. "Why didn't you do anything?" the prosecutor asked. "That's my wife," he replied.
"You acknowledge that had you told the Mobley and Aiken family would have known the location of their daughter a year and 3 months earlier?"
So what now?
"Had you told, as soon as you found out, in other words, informing the authorities, that the Mobley and Aiken family would have found out about Kalan Mobley already 15 months earlier?"
Gloria's two sons, Antoine and Andre, testified about their childhood and growing up with Alexis. Both men were at least 10 years older than her, but fondly recalled how they knew her as their little sister. Antoine said their parents split up when he was little, and that Gloria then dated a man named Charles Manigo, who was mentally and physically abusive to her. He said he saw his mom being hit for various reasons and called names. The violence eventually led to her losing custody of them to their father. Back in 1998, he said he remembers his mom being pregnant. He was about 9 years old. He was excited about having another sibling. When the baby arrived, everyone was happy, and family came in from out of town to see her. Antoine said he had a bunch of nicknames for his little sister. He called her Mrs. Me Too because she always wanted what everyone else had. And he called her Skittles, because he said if you gave her Skittles, she wouldn't tell on you. When asked about his relationship with Alexis, he said, "Oh, that's my homie right there. She's definitely like one of my best friends. I can talk to her about anything." He said when she got older, he would take her to get her nails and hair done. "That's one of my best friends right there," he said. He was 18 when he moved out and went into the military. He then became a contractor for the military, but he kept in touch with his mom and Alexis regularly. He described Alexis's childhood.
"I think she was blessed. I mean, the childhood she had was outstanding, wonderful. She was able to go places, experience new things that a lot of her peers around her wasn't doing at that time, from vacation to different cities to theme parks, Carowinds. She had the latest and greatest from shoes to hairstyles. So, I mean, I think she got a hairstyle on right now. That's pretty dope. So, I mean, she stayed. She had a wonderful childhood, definitely."
Do you recall her being well cared for?
"Yes."
"Recall her ever being hungry?"
"No."
"Does she appear to be a happy child?"
"Always."
Asked about Alexis and Gloria's relationship, he said, "They had one of the best relationships I can see a parent having with their kid, period." He said they were always together, and that you don't see that type of relationship between a parent and their kid nowadays, especially when Alexis was 14 or 15 years old. Antoine described Gloria as his role model and a wonderful person. He said that she's everything he wants his wife to be when he gets married: genuine, loving, and caring. He told the court that he has a 3-year-old son, and that Gloria is the best grandparent. "Now it's difficult because his son doesn't have his grandmother. It's tough for everybody," he said. When he heard about what happened, he said he thought about how long he would be without his mom. Antoine said he has kept in touch with Alexis and that she seems to be doing pretty good considering the situation. He told the judge that his mom deserves a second chance and shouldn't get the maximum sentence. "She made a mistake. She understands that," he said. "Putting someone behind bars for 22 years, that's a lot. We don't have that many people this good in the world." He ended his testimony by saying, "I love you, Mom." Antoine's older brother and Gloria's other son, Andre, then took the stand next. When asked who Gloria was in relation to him, he said, "She is my loving mother." He also recalled Gloria's relationship with Charles Manigo. He said Charles was definitely, definitely violent. He told the court about an incident in which he couldn't remember if it happened before or after Alexis was born, but he said that he, his brother Antoine, his mom, and Charles were in their car when Charles and Gloria got to talking about something, and Charles said, "I'll kill us all right now," and started driving erratically, speeding, and blowing through stop signs. After that, custody of them was transferred over to their father for the next couple of years. Andre, too, said that when Gloria was pregnant, he was excited about having another young sibling. He said he went to his dad's house over the summer of 1998, and when he came back, Alexis was there. He said Alexis had a good childhood and that she was always happy and well cared for. She and Gloria had a real close connection and were always together. When he heard about what happened, he said that he immediately went to South Carolina from where he lived in Virginia, about 8 hours away. Gloria had called him the night before and told him that she had done something bad and had made a mistake. He said he was working at the time and couldn't really talk to her, so he told her that he would call her back. Then the next day, he got a phone call saying that she had been arrested, and so he immediately got on the road. He said he wanted to make sure that she was okay. Andre said his mom is great, wonderful, and beautiful inside and out. His 9-year-old daughter usually spends her summers with Gloria, and she recently asked him when she would see her again. He said it's hard for him to go on, day to day, knowing that his mom is incarcerated and not free. Gloria's attorney told the judge that in lieu of testimony from Alexis, or Kamaya Mobley, who was present at the hearing, they would submit interviews that she gave in support of Gloria. But Gloria herself would be testifying. Gloria was first asked about her childhood, which she said was good. She had lots of friends that she's still friends with now, and her parents were good people. She was asked to describe her personality, in which she said that she loves to laugh and smile, and that she tries to treat people according to the way they treat her. She graduated high school early. She was 17 and wanted to get out, and so she went and took her GED in order to graduate earlier. She met her first husband, William Bolden, while she was at college at Norfolk State University, and she was 22 when they married. After they divorced, she returned to South Carolina, where she was originally from. She worked two jobs, and her parents helped her with her two sons. She worked at a nursing home, and at the age of 48, she decided to go back to school and get her degree in business and healthcare administration. She was 5 months away from getting her master's in management leadership when she was arrested. Gloria said she dated Charles Manigo for 3 years, and that in the beginning, it was a good relationship, but then it became violent. She said she lost a lot because of the relationship, including her children and her baby. She described how Charles choked her a couple times until she passed out, and how he pulled her arm out of its socket. She said she should have gone to the hospital, but that she didn't want to bring the police into it. Later on, she did go to the hospital for her arm and ended up having surgery on it. She said they put 2 screws in her left shoulder. In 1998, she became pregnant with Charles's baby. She said she thought that would bring peace to them because he wanted to have a baby and that it was what he needed. Her kids were 8 and 9 years old at the time. She spoke to the court about her pregnancy.
It started off to be a good pregnancy. It did, and I was, for the most part, healthy during the early parts of it, but after the abuse and stuff, I think the stress from all of that just didn't let the pregnancy go on.
What happened?
I miscarried.
Did you go to the doctor?
Well, I called them. At the time, I didn't have insurance, and it's like I told them I was bleeding, and it was like, oh, that's normal for the first trimester. And I was like, well, are you sure? I'm bleeding a lot. And it's like, yeah, if it keeps up, you know, then come in or go to the emergency room. And, you know, back then they didn't want to see you if you didn't have insurance, if you couldn't afford to pay.
She said that although she continued to bleed a little, her body continued to grow, so she didn't know that she had a miscarriage. She believed that she was still pregnant. In the spring or summer of 1998 is when she lost custody of her sons. Also during that time period, she said that Charles was arrested and went to jail. She said that during all of this, she was working two jobs at the Charleston Holiday Inn and also at the nursing home. On July 10, 1998, Gloria said she left work in Charleston and was heading home to Ruffin, about a 35-minute drive, when she changed course. She said she felt like she was on autopilot, and she just started heading south.
Where were you going?
I don't know. I had no plans, nothing. I don't know. I was just felt like I was on autopilot. Just I was depressed. I was extremely just depressed. And
why?
Because my life was out of control. I've lost everything. You know, well, I didn't at the time didn't lose the baby, but I lost the boys, and my life was just out of control. You know, and I didn't, like I said, I didn't know that I lost the baby. So it was just, you know, I was just depressed because I'm like, why is my life like this? You know, and my family didn't know what was going on. I didn't let them in. I kind of kept my distance from them, and because they were used to me always being that smiley person and, you know, always trying to put my best foot forward, I just did not want them to know this nightmare I was living.
She said her heart was still trying to heal from her first marriage ending, and then getting into the abusive relationship with Charles was just too much. She said she drove down I-95 that day, but that she didn't have any idea where she was heading. She had no plans and hadn't packed anything. She said she had the baby car seat in the car with her from when she got it at her baby shower. When asked what she was thinking about on her drive, she said she didn't know, but that it couldn't have been good. "I couldn't tell you," she said. She ultimately exited in Jacksonville.
What was your intent at that time?
It was definitely not to take a baby, that's for sure. I don't know. I can't, I mean, it was almost 20 years ago. I can't tell you. I really just cannot tell you what was on my mind. My head back then, I was a different person. My head was in a different place. I was just broken. I had a broken heart. I had a broken spirit. I didn't feel good about myself. I didn't feel good about anything. You know, I was just felt like a robot. I knew I had to go to work. I knew I had to eat. So I had to keep working. You know, I was by myself. I was a single parent with nobody else bringing in any money. So I had to keep doing what I had to do.
Did you ultimately enter a hospital?
Yes, I did.
What was your intention when you entered the hospital?
I don't know. It just wasn't. My intent was not to take a baby. It wasn't. I just sat there. I sat there fighting with myself, I guess. And that's how I felt, fighting with myself. I did go to the floor and looked at the babies at the ward. And just looked at them and just thought about the baby I lost.
She said she went into Shannara Mobley's room but didn't know why. She said she didn't know her and didn't know anybody there. She and Shannara talked for a while. The baby wasn't there when she first walked in.
How long were you in Mrs. Mobley's room?
Her and I, we talked. She wanted to get cleaned up, and I guess the nurse was taking too long. So I went down the hall and got her gown, a fresh gown, and I came back and kind of helped her. And we talked. She talked about the family, about her family. And that's it.
Was anyone else in the room with her at that time?
No.
She said they ultimately brought the baby in.
What was going through your mind during that time?
I don't know. I was thinking about, you know, maybe this baby can help Charles. That's what I was thinking. And after me and Miss Mobley was talking, it was like she was so young and she was just wasn't real sure about what she was going to do. And just my mindset at that time wasn't logical. It definitely wasn't logical, you know, but from what I was thinking at that time, it seemed right. It seemed right.
She said she took the baby from the hospital and took her back to South Carolina. She described Alexis as a doll baby and a joy. She raised her as her own and took her to routine doctor appointments, sent her to school where she became a cheerleader, taught her to respect her elders and to be kind to people. She was a princess but still had rules, she said. Alexis was active in their church, was part of the National Young Scholars, and was on the honor roll for science and math. She was a healthy and very happy child. Gloria said she thought the baby would bring peace to the house and that the violence would stop, but it didn't. She said she eventually left Charles. She thought to herself that she couldn't have him around Alexis, that Alexis deserved better. That gave her the courage to leave the relationship. She said she and Alexis were very close and that her sons spoiled her. Gloria then married Wernoski Williams, who she's still married to. She said she didn't know love like that until she met him. She also recalled telling Alexis that she was really Kamaya Mobley. She said Alexis had asked her for her social security card and birth certificate so she could start working at the local Shoney's restaurant, and that's when she told her. She said she wanted to turn herself in, but that Alexis didn't want her to, so she didn't. At some point in early January 2017, she received a call from Jacksonville detectives. They wanted her and Alexis to come in and speak with them. When they got to the station, the investigators asked for Alexis's DNA. Alexis didn't want to give it to them, but Gloria told her to go ahead. She knew that the truth was on the horizon and that her arrest was imminent. She said Alexis didn't want her to be arrested.
She wanted me to run. I told her I couldn't do that. I couldn't leave her. I couldn't do it. I couldn't have a life like that. I was already in this for too long, and the truth was going to come out.
She said she was arrested at 4 a.m. and was taken to the county jail. Gloria told the court that when she learned that Alexis's biological parents were coming to meet her for the first time, she said she told Alexis to give them a chance. Since her arrest, she said she remains in contact with Alexis. They talk on the phone and they send each other letters. When asked why she never returned Alexis to her biological parents after taking her all those years ago, Gloria responded that it was due to crippling fear and said, quote, "And then I fell in love with her." She said that since her arrest, she hasn't reached out to the Aiken or Mobley families. When asked why not, she said that it was on the advice of her attorneys. But when asked if she had anything she wanted to say to them, she said yes.
Miss Mobley, Mr. Aiken, I've wanted to apologize to you when you were in South Carolina. I pray every day, for the good Lord to renew your hearts, renew your minds, and to heal your hearts, and to give you the peace and joy that comes from knowing His word. I can't explain where I was back then, 20 years ago. I know I wronged you, and I'm so sorry. In so many days, I just wanted to pick that child up and say, come on, let's get in this car and go. I just couldn't. When I left Jacksonville, I didn't look back. I didn't know what you went through. I could only imagine what you went through. I could only imagine.
She said she wanted to reach out to them before this, that she had prayed that they would have come down to the jailhouse. She said she would have gone against her attorney's advice and talked to them and told them that she's sorry. She then addressed Alexis and said that she was sorry to her, too.
I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to hurt you. I just love that child so, and I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to cause you any harm, any pain, any of that. And I'm sorry. And I hope you can find it in your heart and forgive me.
On cross-examination, the prosecutor didn't hold back.
You discussed on direct examination that you wanted the truth to come out.
Yes.
The truth is that from July 10th of 1998 until July 10th of 2016, that for every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, and every year, that you were a kidnapper. That's the truth, correct?
Yes, sir.
And the truth is that for as much as you claim to have prayed to God to ease the pain of the Mobleys and the Aikens, it was you and only you that had the ability to ease that pain, correct?
Yes, sir.
And the one little thing that you did was 18 years of torture on two innocent families, correct?
That's correct, sir.
Gloria agreed that she had a good childhood and that there was nothing in her background that would explain her behavior. She was educated, taken care of, and loved, and that she made the decision to kidnap Kamaya. No one forced her. She wasn't under the influence of drugs or alcohol, and that she knew the difference between right and wrong.
You said that you're a kind person.
Yes, I am.
Would you agree that for 18 years, you were not kind to everyone involved in this case?
You're right, I wasn't.
You agree a person is defined by their actions, not their words?
That's true.
The prosecutor addressed the miscarriage that Gloria said she had. She told him that she didn't go to the doctor at first, but went a couple months later and had an ultrasound. By that time, the baby was long gone. She said that this was about a month before she took Kamaya. After the ultrasound, she said she still kept the car seat in the back of her car. The prosecutor then went through what Gloria did step by step on the day of the abduction, highlighting all of the deliberate decisions he said she made. She made the decision to turn towards Jacksonville while she was driving, he said. She made the decision to park at the hospital, to go to the maternity ward, and to enter a room where a woman had just given birth. She made the decision to engage that woman in conversation, all while wearing her hospital scrubs. Gloria said she was wearing the hospital scrubs from when she worked at the nursing home. And she stopped the prosecutor when he said that she made the decision to misrepresent herself.
And you, at that moment, misrepresented who you were, correct?
No. I told her my name, and I guess because of the scrubs, I think she assumed that I was a nurse.
Well, you know that. You know that she assumed you were a nurse.
Right.
Okay. And you never corrected and said, no, I just lost my baby. I just want to talk to you about your baby.
No, I didn't.
So she thinks you're a nurse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
And she's going about talking about the caring of her child, right?
No, actually, she wasn't.
Now, you saw Kamaya Mobley on the chest and saw Miss Mobley, Janara Mobley, holding Kamaya, correct?
Yes.
And did you see the love in Janara Mobley's eyes when she was looking upon the child?
I don't think I looked at her like that. To be honest with you, I just don't. Like I said before, my thought pattern, my mindset was not thinking like that. I saw her look at her baby, but at the time, I believe she was real groggy still, and I just don't remember.
The prosecutor then went into her mindset when he said she made the decision to take the baby.
And you're going through in your mind, at that point, you're going to take this child, aren't you?
No.
You said on the direct examination, you saw that she was young, correct?
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
happening. Like, oh, she was having, she wasn't sure how she was going to take care of the kid or something like that.
Right. Yeah, and that's what we talked about.
Okay. That's not what it took. Right? He didn't take her because Tamara was talking to you about how she was going to care for Tamara, right?
No.
And we heard a lot of I don't knows, okay, about why you did everything. You know, kind of my point, but regardless, you didn't come up with an answer. And your answer was, I did it because I wanted to bring peace to my family. Is that true?
Yes.
So when you made the conscious decision to take this child, you did it for your own selfish reasons, correct?
Not thinking logically, yes.
I understand it wasn't a logical decision.
No.
It's a selfish decision, correct?
It wasn't a logical decision.
It was a selfish.
Wasn't a logical decision.
Okay. You're not going to say it was a selfish one?
Yes, it was. It was.
The prosecutor pointed out that she left the hospital with the baby and went back to Jacksonville, that she knew what she was doing was wrong, and that she didn't want to be caught. Gloria said that from what she remembered, she hadn't been in a hurry to leave.
From what I remember, I wasn't running. I was walking, and I believe at any given time, somebody could just grab my arm and say, hey, what do you have in the bag?
Did you put this child in the bag?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
I guess you really were concerned about Amaya Mobley's welfare when you stuck her into a duffel bag, were you?
She wasn't in a duffel bag.
Her, what was she in? What kind of bag?
No. I don't remember.
You weren't really concerned about her welfare when you did that, were you?
I was.
You were?
Yes.
That's a good place to put a baby. You carry your other children in bags?
No, I haven't.
She said she put Kamaya in the car seat and went back home. She showed Kamaya to her friends and family and then went to sleep that night. The prosecutor then pointed out that she perfected her crime by doctoring a fake birth certificate and fake social security card for Alexis that she had given to Alexis's school. He said she could have turned Kamaya over to the authorities at any time and could have even done it anonymously. She agreed.
And certainly he knew that the entire city of Jacksonville, frankly, the entire United States was looking for who stole Kamaya Mobley, right?
I didn't know that.
Well, you knew enough when Kamaya Mobley, you confessed if you bought Kamaya Mobley, you knew enough to go on the internet site and pull off a flyer, right?
That's correct.
You knew that was out there, right? In other words, that she was being looked for, right?
Yes.
When asked how much time she thinks she should get, she said she isn't sure, that she can't answer that. Gloria was formally sentenced on June 8th, 2018.
There are no winners and no losers in this case. This is a very sad case, and many people have suffered, including Ms. Williams, as a result of her choices on the day of the crime. At this time, this court will proceed to imposition of sentence. The defendant is adjudicated guilty of kidnapping, the first-degree felony under Florida law, punishable by life. The sentence is she will serve 18 years in the Florida State Prison. She is awarded credit for time served, which is 511 days. And that credit, counsel, was from the day after the arrest warrant was signed. And I believe the state, you have no objection to that number, do you? 511 days. Are awarded as credit. On count two, the defendant's adjudicated guilty of the third degree felony of interference with custody. The sentence is the defendant will serve 5 years in the Florida State Prison with 511 days of credit. The family in this case suffered not knowing what had happened to their child for approximately 18 years.
The judge said that she may not profit from her crimes. Gloria will reportedly serve about 15 years of her sentence. Craig Aiken released a statement shortly after Gloria was sentenced. Quote, I first would like to thank God for the safe return of my daughter, Kamaya. I knew walking into this morning that there would be no winners in this situation. Despite today's sentence, I would like to deal with the emotional toll this ordeal has taken on my family. At this time, I choose to remain focused on mending my family together through this situation. I believe now that this is over, we can continue on our journey of healing together as a family and supporting my daughter with her decision-making. About a month later, in July 2018, Shannara Mobley spoke with the Florida Times Union and told them that she still doesn't have a relationship with Kamaya and that Gloria still reaches out to Kamaya every day. She then said sometimes she wishes that Kamaya had never come back because it has taken such a toll on her other children. Also in July 2018, the Lifetime cable channel said that they have signed a production deal for a movie and documentary about Kamaya's story, so this will likely not be the last you hear about this case. And that's all for today's episode. I'd love to hear what you think about this case. Do you agree with Gloria's sentence? Do you believe her testimony that she doesn't remember going to the hospital that day? You can let me know by joining my Facebook discussion group at courtjunkie.com/Facebook, tweet me at courtjunkiepod, or email me at podcast@courtjunkie.com. I also want to thank my sponsors for today's episode, including True Botanicals, because you shouldn't have to choose between skincare that's safe and skincare that works. True Botanicals creates luxurious, botanical formulas that are as potent as they are pure. Their third-party clinical trials showed their Renew collection outperformed Creme de la Mar, and their Clear collection outperformed Proactive Plus. And everything they make is verified non-toxic by Made Safe. Go to truebotanicals.com now to get free samples and receive $20 off orders of $40 or more with the code JUNKIE. Offer restricted to first purchase only. I also want to thank all of you for being patient with me while I was on my maternity leave. And as always, thank you for being such awesome listeners. I want to apologize for the extra ads in this episode and in the next couple episodes. I'm still catching up since extending my maternity leave. So thank you for all of your patience with that too. If you want to hear these episodes ad-free, remember you can always go to my Patreon page at courtjunkie.com/support. That's courtjunkie.com/support. Thanks for listening. Until next time.